2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All righty, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled Scott Mitchell and Matt Biamonte, who is filling in for Alex, who's on vacation. Someone who is not on vacation, but is off in the world, working hard and tirelessly, is Jeremiah Jensen from KSL TV. Good morning, good evening, Jeremiah. How are you?
Yeah, good morning from Tokyo. I'm just sitting here waiting to get drafted, but it hasn't happened. So hey, I'm just sitting here waiting for the phone call.
They're 14 picks into this thing, JJ, yeah. and that's going pretty fast. Of course, the Jazz are at 30, and there's some rumblings of potentially moving up. Who knows? But as it is right now, not a lot has happened for the old Utah Jazz as far as the draft front goes. Curious about that, JJ. What is available at 30 for the Jazz? Is that a fair question to ask the guy who's in Japan right now?
That's a fair question.
Okay.
That's a very fair question because there's historically, how much has ever been available at 30? I think there's always that one guy in each draft that makes it to the second round that, shocks people and becomes a good NBA player. But let's be honest, it's really tough to find a rotational player at number 30. Guys, I feel like 90% certain that the Jazz trade out of the first round and just go to the second round or trade out of the draft entirely. I can't see them filling a guaranteed roster spot with a number 30 pick after doing so with the pick they had last year. I just don't see that helping them this year or doing anything for them unless they find somebody that they really, really like that falls or drops, but the odds of that are pretty slim.
So the best.
It's been a quiet. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say. So the best pick for the Jazz is not to pick at all.
That's my pick.
That sounds like Socrates or something like philosophical.
The best pick is no pick at all. That's the case this year for the Jazz. Honestly,
I like it. Let's go with it.
One more Jazz question for you. Then we'll get into the Olympics. But what's the number one priority for Utah in the offseason? It's obviously not the draft. So what do you think it is?
Mike Conley. They've got to bring Mike Conley back. They can't afford to lose an all-star player for nothing. And so, you made a decision that Mike Conley was going to be your guy 2 years ago when you made that trade, and you gave up Jay Crowder to make that happen. So they had to give up something to get Mike Conley, and now you're looking at a situation where they don't have any other means to improve their roster because they're capped out, they're in the luxury tax, unless they move one of their rotation players. There's a lot of rumors surrounding Joe Ingles and Bojan Bogdanovic and Royce O'Neal and a number of guys that I think everybody except Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert are probably available to make this team better. But you got to keep Mike Conley. You got to make that happen. So that is the number one priority. And then I think they try to see if they can find one rotational piece on a mid-level exception. But that's pretty much their offseason unless they want to really shake things up and make a big deal.
So I went golfing with my daughter this morning, and Simone Biles came up. And it was interesting to hear different people's take on what she should have or shouldn't have done. And it's across the board what people are thinking about this. What's the vibe you're getting there about the whole Simone Biles situation? And what do you feel about it?
Well, it's been the number one topic of conversation for sure. And I think that's a good thing because it's prompting people to talk about why she made this decision. And the decision was her mental health. She wasn't in the right place. And I think that people really, before they criticize Simone Biles, they better know her story. I mean, if you don't know, she was sexually abused inside the gymnastics program by Larry Nassar, who was enabled by the same program that was supposed to protect her. And then there was a cover-up involved in keeping anybody being prosecuted. And eventually Nassar was, but they went easy on him as far as I'm concerned. So you got to understand what Simone Biles has been through. Plus, she's already accomplished everything there is to accomplish in gymnastics. So calling her a quitter and calling her soft, I think is pretty, it's either naive or just ignorant. So that's my opinion on that. I do hope, and this is my feeling, is that we talk more about how we have placed these expectations on these elite athletes. Yes, they're elite athletes. We expect them to go out there and do their thing. And I think they expect that of themselves, but we need to allow these athletes at that level to be human. And a lot of that's on us. A lot of the pressure that's put on these people is on us, and it's probably not fair. And some may disagree with that take, but I do think that we need to cut these people some slack. We chew people up and then spit them out when it comes to the next best thing. And now people are moving on to Suni Lee. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, we build up these superstars and then we tear them down. It's a culture issue, I think, that we need to look at in the United States, and I think other places do it as well.
Jeremiah Jensen is our guest here. He is live in Tokyo, Japan. And something that's so fun about the Olympics, and I forget this, and then it always reemerges every Olympics, is just how fun it is to see which stories emerge, which athletes weren't on the big stage, and then they win a gold medal, they break a record, and their story comes to light. What's been one of your favorite stories that's emerged in this Olympics?
Suni Lee. I just mentioned Suni, and I think she's a great story. She just won gold tonight. It's going to be on. You can watch it right now on KSL. But the news is already out.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I spoiled it for you. Spoiler alert. Suni won. No, Suni Lee is a great story. She's a gold medalist now. Her father was recently paralyzed. She lost family members to COVID-19. She is now a gold medalist. She's the first Hmong American to win a gold medal. And I mean, and it's just, it's awesome. Those kind of stories where somebody has overcome so much and battled so hard to get here. And then those dreams finally are achieved. And I love that. And I've loved watching the swimming. It's funny that we don't pay attention to swimming at all until the Olympics. But then for a week during the Olympics, we just can't turn away because these races and these swimmers are just so incredible. And, you know, some of the underdog stories.
Well, and we win, too. I mean, that's why we like to watch it.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. USA, USA. Yeah, it's fun, right? So, there's a lot of swimmers that have really been the star of the show so far in the Olympics. I mean, we still have a week to go, so we'll see what else develops. But for me, it's Suni Lee, and then it's all these gold medalists and USA swimmers that have just been incredible in the pool.
All right, so what do we have to look forward to today, tomorrow, whatever day you are? Because you're a day ahead of us. It's like
I am calling you from the future.
Well, JJ took a DeLorean to Japan, so it's
just... Back to the future. Yeah, so I already spilled the beans on Suni Lee, which happened late last night in Tokyo, by the way. But you're watching it right now on NBC. But there's also some swimming that's going to happen that we don't know the results yet. So the swimming you're watching in primetime on NBC is live. They're taking place in the morning here in Tokyo. So there's some great swimming, I think, that's ahead. So that's the number one thing I look at. And then after this week, I mean, our attention really turns to the U.S. women's soccer team. Can they pull off and rally and win gold? Team USA figure out who they are and emerge as a gold medal team, or is, you know, Australia and Joe Ingles shocked them? So I think that those are some of the storylines I'm looking at. But tonight, I think check out the swimming live. I think it's going to be fun.
All right, there he is, KSL TV, Jeremiah Jensen, all the way from Tokyo. Hey, and we didn't drop you this time, JJ, so that's good.
I win a gold for not having my call drop.
That's right. Have a good time, and we'll check in with you tomorrow, so thanks. All right, folks, we're going to take another break here. We come back, and of course, it is that time for our MVPs. We've got some good ones for you. You do not want to miss this. You're listening to KSL's Unrivaled. We'll see you in just a bit.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.